As always, it's a pleasure to be here and to have another opportunity to study God's Word together. I hope that what we have to study this evening will be something that we can each learn from and that it will be practical for us. Tonight, I'd like to continue the series on the book of 1 Corinthians. We're going to be continuing into 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 6 through 16. Let's begin by reading that passage tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 6 through 16. It says, "Howbeit, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." So here in this portion of 1 Corinthians, Paul begins a discussion of God's Word and how it has been revealed first to him and the other apostles and now to us. And he also talked about how the Holy Spirit had revealed God's Word. Let's begin in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 6, rereading that passage to begin our discussion. 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 6 says, "Howbeit, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world, that come to naught." So here Paul is explaining what he speaks, the things that he is teaching, and he's explaining who he teaches these things to. There's a couple of terms in this passage that we need to clarify before we can really understand this passage and a lot of 1 Corinthians for that matter. So first of all, when Paul says, "we speak wisdom," he's talking about himself and the other apostles and inspired teachers of the first century. And then when he says, "we speak wisdom," he's talking about those things that had been inspired, the things that the Holy Spirit had told them to teach. And then there's another term in this passage that is largely misunderstood, and that is the word "perfect." We've studied this word in some of our previous series, but I'd like to look at it specifically in its context here in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Now, as humans in our culture today, we see the word "perfect" and we think of someone who is free from sin, someone who never messes up. And as we know, that person doesn't exist. So let's look at Hebrews chapter 5, verses 13 through 14, which helps us to understand what "perfect" means in this context. In this passage, the same Greek word translated "perfect" in 1 Corinthians is translated "of full age." Hebrews 5, 13 through 14 says, "For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." So here we see what "perfect" really means in the context of 1 Corinthians chapter 2. It doesn't mean that they're free from sin. It means that they're mature enough to take the strong meat of the word. They're mature enough to understand the deepest concepts of God's Word. And then it contrasts that concept with being a babe in Christ who can only take the most simplistic parts of God's Word. So essentially, Paul's message is that he and the other inspired teachers are teaching the things that the Holy Spirit instructs them to teach. But those things aren't for everyone, or many people will not understand them. However, these people that are perfect or mature will understand all of the message, and they will be able to accept that message. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 1 shows us a common frustration that Paul had with his audience in Corinth. and how they were often not mature enough to understand what he was teaching. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 1, it says, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ." So he's saying here, the things that I teach can only be understood by those who are spiritually mature enough to accept them. But then he says, you aren't mature enough. You're still babes in Christ because you have a carnal focus. These people in Corinth had been pumped full of this stuff from their youth up. People in Corinth taught idolatry. They had all these philosophies of men. And so he's saying, you're still focused on these things. You still have a carnal mindset, and therefore you can't accept and you can't receive the things that I'm teaching you. So this was a common frustration that Paul had with his audience in Corinth, that they couldn't understand all that he was trying to teach them. Next, in 1 Corinthians 2, verses 7 through 8, he talks about the mystery and the hidden things of God's Word that have been revealed at this time. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 7 through 8 says, "But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory." So here again we see a couple of terms that we have to clarify in order to understand this passage. We see the term mystery and the term hidden. So a lot of the time when we hear words like that, we think of Sherlock Holmes going around and trying to solve the case. But that's not what mystery means. It's not something that's shrouded in this deep concept. It's not something that only a select few can understand. Ephesians 3, verses 3 through 5 explains what that mystery is in the context here. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 3 through 5. It says that, or how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when ye read ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. So here he explains what the mystery is. It's something that was hidden before, something that was unknown, but is now revealed. He says that it's revealed to the holy apostles and prophets of which he was a part. So this ties back to what we studied a moment ago, how he and the other inspired teachers taught the things of God's Word that were told to them by the Holy Spirit. So this timeline represents really what we're seeing in these passages, how that God's Word and certain aspects of God's Word were hidden before the time of Christ. But then in the first century, they were revealed to the apostles. And then now, in the present, we see them in the Bible so that we can understand what the apostles and the other first century teachers told the people at that time. We see their epistles, we see all their teachings, and we can learn from those things today. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 through 10, talks a little bit more about God's Word being unknown before. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 through 10. It says, "But as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man, the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God." So here in this passage, there is a very common misconception about what this passage is meaning. People say that this idea of "I hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man," they say that this is talking about heaven. And at first that makes sense because it says the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Now when we hear that phrase today, we think about heaven. We think of that as the thing that's been prepared for us. But that's not really what it's talking about. So people say that from the beginning of time up to the present, heaven was not seen and it was not heard. Now that part seems to compare with the passage in 1 Corinthians. And then they say that Jesus will return at the end of the world and that the saved will enter heaven and thus heaven will be revealed to them. So that's the common misconception that we see. So when I first saw this, I thought that it made sense. But there's a very clear discrepancy in this doctrine that they teach. First of all, we need to notice that Paul's not speaking an original statement here. He's quoting Isaiah. So we see this comparison slide on the screen that shows us that he's quoting an Old Testament prophecy. So what does that mean to us? What's the significance of this prophecy and how it's quoted in 1 Corinthians? Well, today we see what's prepared for us as heaven. But in the Old Testament, they saw different things coming. They saw the new covenant as something still coming. So now that we have that today, we just look forward to heaven. But they look forward to different spiritual things than we do today. There's also some things that we can learn from the context of 1 Corinthians chapter 2 that can really clarify this concept. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 2, verses 7 through 9, which gives us a hint on what verse 9 actually means. 1 Corinthians 2, verses 7 through 9. It says, "But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him." So here in verse 8, we see a very clear clue to what verse 9 actually means. So it says that this wisdom, if they, speaking of the ones who crucified Christ, if they had known this wisdom, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. So what would have kept them from crucifying Christ? If they had known who he really was, and if they had known that he was divine, and if they'd known the hope that he brought, they would not have crucified him. They were expecting some great earthly leader to save them from their oppression at that time. But when Christ came and he claimed to be the Messiah that they were looking for, they didn't believe it. If they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. So that's what this passage is talking about, and that's what verse 9 is talking about. These things that were not seen and not heard in Isaiah's time are seen and heard today. But because that was an Old Testament passage, it was foretelling Christ and the gospel. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, or chapter 2 and verse 12 shows us without a doubt that verse 9 was not talking about heaven, but rather that it was talking about the gospel. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 12. It says, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God." So this passage in verse 12 is just continuing the same concept that was taught in verse 9. And we see that the spirit that we have received, or that Paul had received at that time, explained to him, and it now explains to us, what has been freely given to us. What Paul was talking about in verse 9 has already been given to us. So it cannot be heaven. And this helps us to understand that it truly is the gospel that Isaiah was looking forward to in his time, and that now we have freely given to us. Now let's look at this timeline again, just to show us another concept, how the gospel was not seen. It was not heard, and it was not taught in Isaiah's time. But in the first century, it was revealed through the Spirit to the apostles. And now we read and understand through God's Word. So that helps us to understand what verse 9 was actually talking about. That it's not talking about heaven as it at first seems, but it is talking about the gospel. Now let's continue on to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 10 through 13, which explains that the Holy Spirit has revealed God's Word to us. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 10 through 13 says, "But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual." So here Paul is trying to explain to his audience exactly what he was teaching them. He said that he's teaching things from the Holy Spirit. It says, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth. That was exactly what they were used to hearing. They were used to hearing these great human philosophies that really had no meaning. They had no spiritual truth. And when Paul came and he began to teach them, they expected to hear the same things from him. And he explains here, I'm not teaching you these old human philosophies. I'm not teaching you my own opinion. I'm teaching things from the Spirit, so you need to listen. And we receive the same things today. We receive things through the Spirit in God's Word today. And we need to remember what we're reading when we read the Bible. It's not just some man's opinion. It's God's Word, inspired by the Holy Spirit. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, also talks about the importance of God's Word. It says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. So here again we see that the Bible is inspired by God and that it is profitable for us. It is profitable for everything that we need to know. Every issue that we have in life, it can tell us the answer. It can tell us what we need to do to solve all of our problems. The Bible is that powerful. We could stake our lives on what God's Word says. And that's essentially what God asks us to do. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 6, explains that we need to trust in God. It says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. So essentially, God is asking us to put our whole lives in His hands. But really, why is that hard? God's Word is inspired by the Holy Spirit. We know that. We know that it's true. So trusting in God and leaning on it and trusting it to direct our paths should really be easy for us. That should be a step that we take every day to do what God demands of us. Now continuing on into 1 Corinthians 2, verses 14 through 16, it shows us that it's our choice whether we receive or we reject the Word of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 14 through 16. It says, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. So we've seen that God's Word and everything that Paul taught were inspired by the Holy Spirit. But we still have a choice. God's Word cannot change our hearts until we receive it, until we obey it. We have a choice today whether we receive or reject God's Word. Here in verse 14, it says, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Now, there's a large misconception about this passage as well, especially among the Calvinists. They teach the doctrine of total depravity, which means the doctrine of people who are completely sinful and godless. That's what depraved or depravity means here. They say that that's what this natural man is. It's someone who is completely sinful, who has no good in them, who has no moral standards. So that's what they say the natural man is. And they say that this natural man is incapable of receiving God's Word, but instead that a direct intervention from the Holy Spirit is required for these people to be saved. Now, there are a few fatal flaws in this doctrine that I'd like to expose at this point. 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 1 shows us what the natural man actually is, and that it is not one who is completely sinful and godless. 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 1. It says, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. Babes in Christ. That's what the natural man is. It's not someone who's outside the fold of God. It's someone who's already received and obeyed the gospel. And this person still is hanging on to those little carnal things that they had in their past life. So that in itself shows us that this Calvinist concept of total depravity is not true, because the natural man is not someone outside of the church, but rather someone who has already obeyed the gospel. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15 shows us another thing against this Calvinist concept, and that is that God's word has the power to guide us to salvation. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 15 says, "And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation, through faith which is in Christ Jesus." So here it says the holy scriptures are able to make us wise unto salvation. The Calvinists essentially say that God's word has no power, but that the Holy Spirit has to intervene in that person's life to change their heart. But God's word has the power to guide us to salvation. So here we see essentially what the Calvinists say. They say that the Spirit has to bypass its own word and to get to the sinner's heart, to get to this person who is depraved. And that's the only way that their heart can be changed. When really, God says that the Spirit accesses the sinner's heart through His word. The Spirit guides us through God's word. And that's why the Spirit inspired the word of God, so that it could guide us to salvation. So this Calvinist doctrine really doesn't make sense. Why would the Spirit bypass its own word when it inspired that word for our benefit? God's word has power, and it has power to save. It has power to change our hearts and to direct every step of our lives, if only we will receive it and obey it. Have you taken the steps to obey God's word tonight? If you're not a Christian yet and you want to take that step, you want to be baptized this evening, we want to help you. Or if you're still considering being a Christian but you're not convinced yet, we want to study God's word with you more. We want to make sure that you know everything that God has to say in His word, or everything that we can teach you. We want to help you if you need either one of those things. Also, if you're already a Christian but you feel like you're the babe in Christ, you feel like you're not mature enough to understand everything in God's word, we all have those moments, and we all feel that way. We feel like we're not progressing like we should. So we want to help you with that as well. If you need spiritual assistance from the church, please come while we stand and while we sing.